Hello and welcome to Tongues of Fire, Pastor Paul's podcast, episode 49, On the Way Again. Today is May 30th, 2008. I am your hostess, Janine Arnopoulos, and I'm coming to you from North Minneapolis, Minnesota, USA. Our comment line is 1-715-808-0318. You can also email me, janine@pastorpaul.org. And our blog is www.pastorpaul.blogspot.com, and you can visit our website, www.pastorpaul.org. Thank you for joining me today. Today's message, On the Way, was recorded December 28th, 1984. It's a very lengthy message, so I'm going to just give you a few points to listen in the message. It runs a full 1 hour and 30 minutes. Many scriptures are in the message, and they're taken from Acts, Hebrews, Revelations, Isaiah, Proverbs, Song of Solomon, Matthew, Ezekiel, Psalms, Ecclesiastes, and 2 Chronicles. So you're going to want to go to the blogs, look at the show notes, and there the links to the scriptures will be. Again, you would go to www.pastorpaul.blogspot.com. Some of the different points Pastor Paul touches on in this message is, number one, salvation is the universal way, not the way versus the way. Number two, results and consequences. Number three, Pastor Paul talks about twittering. Twittering, that sounds familiar, doesn't it? Absolutely. He talks about twittering and you being on the treadmill, twittering. He uses it as some who are angry, who just spurts out without thinking, and then someone else spurts something else out. So I thought that was pretty interesting. Again, this message was done in 1984. Also, how you are shows up on your face. If you're on the way or not, it shows up in your face. Pastor Paul talks about soul power, soulishness, humanistic teachings. Another point are the attributes of being on the way. Those attributes: loving, caring, sharing, giving, faith, hope, reconciliation. And he also compares chaos versus the cosmos. God's will in your life is a final point, and that you will have a sense of well-being and the presence of the Lord. The message is excellent. You will be blessed. Be sure to contact me if you have any questions, comments, or suggestions. You can call me on the comment line, that is 1-715-808-0318, or email me, janine@pastorpaul.org. Until next week, have a great week. Be sure to visit the blog and subscribe to the podcast. God bless you.
Last Sunday, we ministered on the way. Tonight, going along those same lines, we'll minister on the way again. You've heard that song, On the Road Again. Well, tonight we're on the way again. We said that the universe itself looked like it was made to be Christian. In Acts 9 and 2, says those belonging to the way, in Acts 19 and 9, of telling about the way, in Acts 19 and 23, a great commotion arose about the way. Of course, the way means salvation, and the way means the way to live, the way to eternal life, the way to health, and the way to feel, and the way to act, and the way to react, and the way to think. Well, how does the earth turn? You can just say that, the way. And how does the universe run? How does the sun rise? How does the sun set? How do you breathe? And how do you laugh? See, the way is written in you, and you cannot escape the way. Well, people ask me, is there any other way? And I say, yes, there is another way, a not the way. And so we have tonight two ways, the way and the not the way. And the question is, which way are you on? One gets results and one gets consequences. And if you try to manipulate life, you'll end up with bitterness. Now, there's a lot of times people try to manipulate life. And you can tell when they're manipulating and not surrendering to the Lord, because they end up bitter. They have resentments, and they even get sick. They have prescription drugs for balance now, and they'll say, well, you see what's wrong with you? There's a chemical imbalance in your life. But you know what's causing that? A spiritual thing is causing the physical unbalance in your life. It's causing the juices to go the wrong way. It's causing Adam to raise up, and Adam makes you sick. How many know Adam makes you sick? How many know your Adam makes other people sick too? Isn't that sickening? But it causes also a disharmony. In the streets, they have drugs to cope with it. Well, I'll tell you, the way it says, either you humble yourself or you will be humbled. And if you won't be humbled, you'll end up on not the way road, which is tension. Now, that's not the way, is it? You can tell when we're not on the way, we're all tense. You see people like that all over, don't you? You're probably that way before you came in here tonight. Had a little argument. You listening on the tape or to this radio. Huh? You probably have those things happening right now. Tension and frustration and breakdown road. No, there's a lot of folks that are into nervous breakdowns. They get into it. Someone tells them they have to have one. They get them off on the wrong way and they have a nervous breakdown. How many felt like they were going to have one this week? Okay. Put your hands up. You felt like you're going to just completely have a nervous breakdown. Well, now, who do you suppose was telling you that? That was not the way telling you that. That was not the way telling you that. That was your Adam agreeing. Oh, that's right, Satan. I'm going to have a nervous breakdown. I'm going to be frustrated. I'm going to have tension. And I'm going to have all these things. And that not the way leads you into a type of hell. Because the way leads you to heaven, Hebrews 12 and 15 says, see to it that no one misses the grace of God. Now, the grace of God means God's ability. That no root of bitterness grows up to be trouble. Now, when the root of bitterness grows up within us, because we're not on the way and we're on the not the way, then it grows up, and the Bible says it will grow up and it will choke you. Because if you miss the grace of God, you will become bitter. Now, there's even Christians that leave the grace road, and they get hard, and they get cold, and they get resentful, and they get picky. Have you been around a picky person this week? They just pick and they twit. Been around a picky and a twitter? And they just have little twits. They don't really say a full sentence. They twit. And they're twitting all the time. Not a whole sentence, and I'm not talking about you, Mary. Everybody looks at Mary. Mary has went through a deliverance. She's not twittering. Okay? But they twitter, and they have little sporadic spurts that come out. They're little mad spurts. And they'll go over to somebody else. You been around someone like that? And then they become abusive and critical. The next thing you know, they have arthritis set in. Did you know that you could actually get physically ill when you're in on not the way? Do you realize how miserable we are when we're on not the way road? How many hearing this? Do you realize how really lost you are? But then we have some that walk in darkness so long they are afraid of the light. Now I know for one thing that evil is not only stupid, it's dull. These people need to be shown how to get on the way. Now, if you work down here in the mission, you'll find that I'm a disciplinarian. I like to see disciplined people. Tonight, I was trying to get across to my people. I says, now, I've only got a few things on my mind. We have a tape ministry that should be going to Africa now and Norway and Sweden. We have a radio ministry. We have to open the church. We have to make sure the boiler works. We have to make sure that the pressure is right on it, that all the pipes aren't leaking. There's only a mile of pipes. We have to make sure everything is running in the church. Do all the books. And make sure that 12 people are working and that they're ministered to for all the time that I'm here. Now, that's not too much. And so I offered a couple of the people. I says, now, next week, you're going to be in charge. And then the week after, you're going to be in charge. And you take on all of these responsibilities. And we'll see how long that you'll stay on the way without getting into your Adam. Say amen, somebody. Now you got to know that a person's on the way when you can do all those things. And the minute I get off the way and get on the wrong road, I know it. Say amen, somebody. And so evil is not only stupid and dull, and boring, but it'll get the best of you. Because you see, the ignorance of evil makes person invent more evil ways to make life just tolerable. When they're walking in evil, they have to invent more evil they have to top yesterday, and the flesh is never satisfied. Because they're under the law, let's say, of the decreasing returns. There is a decrease every day, and they have an imbalance. I'm sure they have unbalance in their makeup. Because they are making themselves sick, and they're going against God's word, and they're turning their whole body upside down. That's imbalance. And most of the people that preach that are unbalanced themselves. How many are hearing this? So anyway, not the way in Revelations 18 and 14. Now listen. Vanished are the ripe fruits of thy soul's desire. That's kind of like you reach up to pick the ripe fruit of your soul's desire and it's gone. You are not on the way. You are not on God's way. It's a mirage. And day after day, you try to go after that mirage, and when you finally reach up to pick that fruit, it isn't there. Now you have it, and now you don't. One day you're going to be real happy, and the next day you're in the dumps, or 1 hour if you can change, like a storm that moves in. All of a sudden you're real happy, and I'm flying on a cloud, and all of a sudden there's dark clouds move in. What's wrong? You have gotten off the way. And I think this, and I know this, that a lot of times in deliverances, the reason the person or persons will not be delivered, I'm talking about myself now, and all of you that are listening on the radio or to this tape or sitting in here tonight, the reason that we do not receive our deliverances is because we are stubborn and we don't want to admit we are wrong. Do you want to get your deliverance? You just go to the person you have to go to and say, you know something, I've been a habitual stinker. I have been living in my Adam. I can't take any advice, and I get mad at the truth. And you know, that's the wrong thing to do, because the truth, it says, and the truth will set you free. And that is the secret of deliverance. Taking a good look at yourself and denying yourself and saying, Lord, change me, and admitting it. And it says, agree with your adversary while he's in the way. Now Satan comes up and says, now, you know, just look at you. You're a mess. And you know, you're never going to be delivered because you're just too naturally mean, and it comes through the family. Your dad or your mother was this way, or Uncle Charlie or whatever like that, and you agree with it. And then you start getting upset in the inside. Now the joy leaves and everything. Now you were on the way an hour ago, and now you're off the way and you're on the wrong way. And it's so evident because it shows in our faces. Your face betrays what you say on the basis of the way it looks. And so what we have to do for one another is say, do you know, brother or sister, you are not on the way right now. You are off the way. And you know, sometimes we love these little friends so much, these off the road, these off-color friends so much, that we hate to give them up. They're old friends. And when someone like comes and interrupts into this spiritual battle, and all of these little friends, Dr. Morose that's with us, Sally, Sad Time, and all of these spirits, we don't want to give up. Playmate, come on. They're little playmates. And what we have to recognize is that our battle is not against flesh and blood. It's against the principalities and power and spiritual wickedness in high and heavenly places. How many are hearing this tonight? Now, this is the bottom line on deliverance. You either want it or you don't want it. It can change your life by the mere receiving. The thing that's upsetting you in your physical makeup is that you're going against the way. And sometimes we don't mean to, but we're tricked into it. And so people can say, you know something, you're a natural nut. How many are hearing this tonight? It is so easy, it just makes me want to scream sometimes. That we cannot receive it. We go right back off into the darkness again, following after ourselves again. It's always tomorrow. Now I remember before and then I got in the Lord. It was always tomorrow I was going to do something. Well, tomorrow. Well, the tomorrow came and I was a little harder. I wasn't the same person that I was that day when I thought tomorrow. And I got a little harder and a little harder. And each day I put it off, I was a different person, a harder person. And so tonight, if you hear the voice of the Lord and you hear that you can be delivered right now, don't put it off until tomorrow. Don't put it off until next week. Do it right now. How many are hearing this? Now you listening on the radio on this tape, are you hearing this? You see, it's always just ahead. It is always something that's going to take you up. And it's another person. I know. This person will help me. And there's always someone to tell you that someone else is going to help you. When it's only Jesus that can deliver you. I don't care. Nothing but the Lord can deliver you. How many are hearing that? Turn around. Take a look at all the people. Just turn around. Take a look at everybody. All raise your hands. Raise your hands that time. And it's all in on you. You're not alone, see? My God, we think we're all alone, don't we? We think we're the only person that has that problem. The devil hits everybody the same way, and nobody knows it because everybody's living in secrecy, under the cloak of secrecy. And they don't want to show themselves. Well, we showed ourselves tonight. It says if we walk in the light, hallelujah, you're going to get free if you want to. Now, did you hear what I just said there? If you want to. How many want to? Well, that remains to be seen. Sometimes we say we want to, but inside we don't want to. But tomorrow never comes. Isn't there a song like that? But tomorrow never comes. Isn't there? And it never comes. We're always putting it off, and it's always just ahead. It's always just around the corner. But it's never just there. It's here tonight. It's here tonight. Jesus is here tonight. My God, He's here. Now, what does deliverance mean? It means demons have to flee in the name of Jesus. Now, you believe that, that's going to happen. If you don't want to believe it, and it's something you want to hold on to, then it will not deliver you. But if you say, Lord, help me with mine unbelief, and help me with this thing I'm going through right now. And I believe that you are going, not only do you want to deliver me, but you will deliver me, you'll be delivered. It's as simple as that. You get on the road towards deliverance and then stay on that road. Stay right on it and Satan will throw everything he can at you and keep right on going. He can't hurt you. If you walk in faith, he cannot hurt you. And walk in the light and keep right on going towards your deliverance. It says the high mark, the calling of Christ. And it says, don't turn back, but press forward towards the high mark, the calling in Christ. But we like to get off of the road. And off the road we go. We get off the road, out of Christian fellowship, and we get in a little corner over here, and Satan just like to naturally beat you to death. Well, now all the fruit of sin is either it's green, or it's bitter, or it's rotten, or it's wormy. It's never just right. It can never give you any kind of a lasting satisfaction. Well, why doesn't it give lasting satisfaction, you say? Because it is not the way. It is not the way. Is sex the way? No. Well, hey, I'm weak. I was tricked into it. No, you weren't tricked into it. You were weak and you were glad you were weak. How many are hearing this? And how many have found out that is not the way? You don't have to raise your hands. Blink your eyes. How many have found out that booze is not the way? My God, I found that out. It never satisfies. Stepping out never satisfies. Gossip isn't the way. That doesn't satisfy. Arguing is not the way. That doesn't satisfy. Controlling people with your mood. That doesn't satisfy. Oh, there's so many people like to control people with their mood. And you can tell them they're having a mood. And everybody all around them is controlled by their mood. Isn't that awful that we allow that? We need to tell one another. Don't have a mood around here, brother or sister. Don't lay a cloud over everybody in here because you're having a mood. Do you see people try to manipulate people with their mood? Huh? Oh, wives do that. Oh, you know, isn't that truth? And husbands, they do that? What's wrong, honey? Well, don't keep working on the guy. He's having a mood. Leave him sit there in his mood. Say amen. But people manipulate one another, or else someone says one little thing to them, and then they're mad, and then they get in their mood, and they're in a mood. And then they go tell everybody that they're having a certain... I am fed up. That's a mood. The fed up mood. How many hear this? Or I'm hurt. God, I'm hurt. I'm wounded. Huh? And that's a mood. How many hear this? How many want deliverance tonight? My God. You know, people are not as dumb as they act. Did you know that? A lot of times they're smart, and we are smart, but we try to act dumb so we can have our own way. Oh, whatever does that mean? Oh gosh, what does that mean? Oh, I don't know exactly. Explain to me. And they waste about a half hour of your time explaining. Say amen, somebody. And you need to deal with that thing today. And I know this is a little different ministry years of hearing. But I'll tell you one thing, it'll set you free. Say amen. We are dealing with spirits. We're not dealing with flesh and blood, the Bible says. We are dealing with what?
Spirit.
Say it good and loud.
Spirit.
Oh, scare the devil.
Spirit.
Say it.
Spirit.
Come on, say it.
Spirit.
Those are spirits. Well, the next time someone comes up, you don't have to do it out loud. Bound that spirit in the name of Jesus. If it happens to you, look in the mirror and bind up that spirit in the name of Jesus. They ain't going to ruin my day. But we control people with our moods. We come in and we get up in the morning and we have a mood. And it's like I said last week, you open the door up and all the birds stop singing. My God, even the worms head for the... That's the spirit. You ever been around somebody that's having a real heavy mood? I mean, it's like when they walk through, they stop everything. And people just sort of, the conversation stops and, God, what happened? A mood just went through. That was a mood. I got, why do Christians put up with that? I don't. No way, I haven't got time to put up with moody people. And laziness, isn't that a mood? Rebellion? Tell me what to do. Nobody tells me what to do. Oh, that's a spirit. For sure, nobody tells you what to do because God himself cannot tell you anything. Revelation 10:10, it did taste sweet like honey, But when I had eaten, it was bitter to digest. That's like now adultery and fornication. It starts out real sweet, don't you see? But in the end, it's bitter to digest. There's the hushed conversation on the phone. Then the sharing with just one real true friend that blabs it all over town. Then there's that small town motel. Then there's a looking at the fruit. And then there's that huge bite. Then there's that enjoying it right down onto the core. And now comes the stomach ache. Two cores sit looking at one another. Rotten to the core, feeling rotten. You know what happens right then? It's like when you take a bite of an apple and you leave it set. In less than a minute or two, you know, it's all brown. Starts to wither, and then there's the ride home. I know I'm hitting somebody out there on the radio and tape. Then there's that stop sign, and you look over, and you see the kid's football coach. Oh, my God, what have I done? You have just been on a trip on not the way road. I've ministered a great deal in the mental wards, not so much here the last couple of years, but before that, many, many times I was called into the mental institutions. You see, there we see people that are in the mental institutions that traveled on not the way. Or go on down to the drunk tank. Go on into the bars. Go into the drug centers. You know what that is, people? That is soul's desired fruit. And you know what will happen when you eat soul's desired fruit? Not spirit, but soul's desired fruit. It'll bind you up. How many know when you give yourself over in the flesh and your soul? There's a lot of people that are soulish. You know what I mean? They're melancholy. They're not in the spirit. They're melancholy. They sound good, but they're sort of a humanist. And they're all light and airy, and we should all do nice things. We should all love mankind and so on, and they're all light and airy and so on like that. And they're living in their soul. They're not real. Because see, in the spirit, and when you're walking in the spirit, then you have answers. And they're very practical, by the way. Do you know when you're moving in the spirit of the Lord, there's very simple and not complex answers, not complex questions, not evil questions. But don't you see, when you're moving in the spirit, it's so simple. But when you're moving in the soul, you have to flower it up. It's called soulishness. And so you flower it up. And you want to get into continual counseling. And have you got a word for my soul? See, the spirit hears from the Lord. And when we minister, we must minister by the Spirit. And when we worship, we must minister in the Spirit and truth, for God is a Spirit. And you cannot minister to Him or worship Him in the flesh. And so a lot of times we come in the flesh and we sit there in our soul power and we get melancholy and we like to hear a little flowered up message and we just want to sort of soul out. You know what I mean? And we get such a thrill. We'll go over and minister to this one or that one. And we get thrilled in our souls, not in our spirit. Because I've seen people ministering in under soul power, they never give the truth out. They just give a sort of advice from the flesh. Are you hearing this? It's not spiritual advice. It's soulishness. And that's what the doctors do. They'll give you some kind of a pill. And I think a lot of ministry sometimes is just a pill. Say amen, somebody. No, it's got to hit it head on. And it's so simple when it's done in the spirit. It's not complicated at all. See, it's not the way living. They cannot relate to reality, to the light. You ever been around someone like that? Cannot relate to the light? Cannot relate to reality?
And you have to explain 15 times. Move this box from this side of the room over there. What does that mean? And I'm just using this. Christians, we want to get so complex, and before we move that box over there, we want to get into it. We want to get into prayer over that box. We want to get into, is this the will of God that that box go over there? We leave the obvious. And we like to get into it's not spiritual, it's soulishness. And we want to relate to one another under soul power. Well, it's been my experience, the box over here, if we take it, and it's not God's will, just think, it could change the whole face of the world. The whole universe would suffer if we are not in God's will. And the boss has told you to move that box from here to there. And we leave the authority of the body of Christ, and we don't get nothing done because we're in a habitual soul pot. Hear it. And a person that's living under soul power will fall into sin every other day. How many are hearing this? See, the not the way living cannot relate to reality because or to light. Because our life is not made for it. Evil is a foreign object to you. Did you know that? The inner man is not made for self-centeredness, and that's why people get sick all the time. They're not made for that. You're trying to cram something in that you're not made for. And you get self-centered, and you're not made to be self-centered. You're made to be God-centered. And so you end up being a sickie. Man is not made for fear, and man is not made for guilt. Man is not made for hate, and man is not made for resentments. Because you know why? You cannot digest them. And they end up binding us up because we were not made for those things. That means we get bound up morally and spiritually and physically and mentally because we're not made for that. We're not made for arguing. We're not made for twittering. We're not made for gossip, and that's why we get sick. You ever get done gossiping and you get sick? And you say, oh, why did I do that? And you're not made to get angry, and you get all angry, and you get high blood pressure. And the doctors can even tell you that. You say, well, you know, you get so angry, look at your whole head, looks like a red light bulb, a tomato. You're not made to get angry like that. And you're not made for fornication and adultery. And you're not made for sin. And so there's a consequence for a choice. But don't try to compensate by getting into soulishness. Explaining it away in sort of a soulishness way. See, because you are made for loving, and you are made for sharing. And, you know, when you do those things, can't you tell you're made for them? Don't they make you feel good? And you're made for caring. And you're made for giving. And you're made for faith. And you're made for hope. And you're made for reconciliation. And you're made for these things. And when you do those things, you feel good. But then there's these other little friends over here. Gee, I hate to tell them, you know, what will I do, you know? Hate and bitterness and all these little pals I got over here, you know. These are little things that once in a while, I just like to pick them up and get in the flesh and crack somebody over the head. You know what I mean? I hate to give them up. They hate to give you up, too. Because evil brings chaos and love brings cosmos. Jesus said, my meat is to do the will of him who sent me, God's will. Now, I know they don't minister this, but here's Jesus saying it. Oh, my God, so play. Jesus said, my meat is to do the will of him who sent me. Oh, wow. Whoa. Hated in the house of his friends, spat on, persecuted, put on a cross, denied. My meat, oh, that's my meat, to do the will of the Father, the one who sent me. God's will is our meat. And everybody knows what God's will is for them. Oh, they got it down pat. Don't they? What is the will of God in your life? Huh? Well, it's that I be continually happy and never have a bad day. That's never going to happen. It's that I prosper and I have everything my heart desires. That is not true. You were made to do the will of the Father, and sometimes that might even be a martyr. But see, when you're happy doing the will of the Father, you're not into yourself. You can't be in yourself and do the will of the Father. I know that. Because you wouldn't want to do it. If you're in soulishness and you're in the flesh, you are definitely not going to want to do the will of God. Never. No matter how you fool yourself or how you play with people or how you do things, it's all soulishness. If you're not doing the will of God, it comes out. You're doing the will of yourself. God's will is our meat. God's will feeds us. I was counseling with myself the other night. Sometimes you can't talk to nobody. You know, nobody agrees. You just go off and you say, well, let's have a discussion over here, all right? And you go over and sit down and you counsel with yourself. And, you know, get over in there and you start asking God what his will is. Maybe you're not going to want to do it. I venture to say, if God would speak directly to people before that they came to be with the Lord, and before they started to work, this is my will for you, and he gave you the whole outline, man, they would be running down the road, their tennis shoes would be smoking. They wouldn't want the will of God in their life to be an example and give God the glory through suffering. They wouldn't want that. How many are hearing this? And oh my God, if you want to be delivered, you're going to get delivered tonight, or you won't. It's up to you. You're listening on the radio. Do you want your deliverance? That's what prosperity is. That your soul would prosper. That it would be led by the Spirit. But God's will is our meat. It feeds us. It builds us up. God's will builds you up. It sustains you. It gives you life. It gives you experience. It gives you expression. Yeah, but what if it's this or that? I don't know if I want the will of God in my life. I'm afraid to ask him. Well, if you don't have the will of God in your life, you're never going to be happy. Never. You're going to be a twit. How many hearing it? How many know this is, my God, it's the truth. Oh, let's just have reality in the house of God and stop all this nonsense. Well, I think then asking for the will of God is filet mignon. I think it's the very best for you. Well, that's the way Paul put it. I've learned to be content in whatsoever state I'm in. Poor, rich, in prison, out of prison. How many are hearing this? Melancholy soul prayers. The desire of my soul is for milk Christians And there's a whole lot of milkers out there. They want the desire of their soul. They, through the flesh, wants the desire for their soul. They're not asking the will of God now. They're telling God what His will is in their life. They're putting God, the Holy Spirit, in a box. And they're outlining it, the ways to get to God and have Him do exactly what He promised. Oh, but they're not reading the whole Bible. Because God says, if you will do this, then I will do that. And if you do this, I won't do that. And if there be any iniquity in your heart, I won't even answer your prayers. And when you're in the will of God, you're not praying those selfish prayers. You're praying for the souls of people. You're praying for that which concerneth you. My God, as a spiritual being, hallelujah, you ain't having nothing to do with this old world down here. You're thinking of those heavenly things. My God, and I'm not trying to be a religious freak. I'm just telling you like it is. Isn't there a song like that? Oh, Daddy, I want a diamond ring, a fur coat, a car, a man, and everything, something like that. Oh, Daddy, I want the very best for me. What is the best for you? It's something else now, isn't it? The best. God wants me to have the best. God. Oh, and it's, it just makes me sick. Oh, sometimes I would just like to, woo! The best for me is not, God doesn't want me to have a brand new Impala Chevy. He wants me to have a Rolls Royce. Now, doesn't that sound stupid when people are starving all over the world? My God, I hate that. The will of God is that I prosper. No. That your soul would prosper. And when your soul prospers by the Spirit, you are in good health and you're in good hands. You see, our own will is contrary to the will of God. Always will be. Say amen, you go against, all the time we go against the will of God. Sometimes, we were walking in the will of God, I know it. Do you? It's contrary to the will of God, and it lowers our sense of well-being. And what's a well-being? When you feel a sense of well-being. Ever have a sense of well-being? That's when you're impregnated with a sense of it. You don't know where it comes from. It's a spiritual thing. You cannot explain it, but it's a sense of well-being. It's not a thing you put on.
Praise the Lord.
How are you? Saved and sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost. No, it's not that. It's a sense of well-being. Now, it doesn't have to make natural sense. I'm talking about in the spiritual realm. It's a sense of it. Something you sense with the sixth power, seventh. You sense it. It's the presence of the Lord. A sense of well-being. It has nothing to do with if this adds up and that adds up and this happens for the day, that'll make me happy. And you add it all up. It's either minus or plus. It has nothing to do with that. It's a sense of well-being. And when you have a sense of well-being, you just can't explain it. It's a sense of well-being. Did you ever try to explain the sense of well-being to someone? How are you feeling today? And we have the old thing. Great! Great! Who are you trying to convince, me or you? It's a sense of well-being. You don't have to explain it. I don't know. All morning I felt the presence of the Lord with me. I can't explain it. It's a spiritual thing, but I just feel lifted. And things aren't going to lift you. People aren't going to lift you. No, they're not. But that sense of well-being is when you're on the... You can't explain it. You're on the way. On the way again. Huh? You're on the way. And there's a sense of well-being. Now, you know, you can't explain it. You know you're on the way and you have that sense of well-being. And someone says, could you do this or that? Sure. It's a sense of well-being. It's a love affair with Jesus. It's kind of like when you're going with somebody and you really love them.
You know? And you have that sense of well-being. And you're not even thinking yourself. You're thinking of all you can do for that particular person. And that's just in the natural. Think how much more it is in the spiritual realm. When you get on the road again. How many hearing this? Oh, God. Well, how will I ever know? You'll have that sense of well-being. See, sometimes we like to manipulate the Word of God. Manipulate it. Isn't that right? Define it. Manipulate it. Put road signs up. If you want happiness, you follow Route 66 down that way, and you turn off here, and you go up into the pass and over into the mountaintop up there. But maybe God's way for you is the will of God in your life might be taking you through some very rough places. And you go through them rough places, but all through that you have a sense of well-being. Because you know you're where God wants you. Doesn't it deplete us when we're not on the way? Doesn't it starve us? Doesn't it poison us? You know why that is? Because we are allergic to evil. Someone evil comes around, or the presence of the devil is around, the presence of the Lord is around. You have that sense of well-being. But when that presence of evil is around, you can feel it. You know it's there. When you really know it's there is when it's you that's manifesting it. Because it seems like it comes out all over you. You know what I mean? It's on you like flies. How many are hearing it? No matter how you try to straighten your face out and how we try to act like pleasant and so on, like it comes off wrong. It's so hard. So we come up with some soulishness and we try to get melancholy. And we say, oh, I'm just going to be a nice person. It doesn't work. We don't have that sense of well-being. We're off. That's what's wrong right now today. There's so much off going on. Isaiah 3 and 8 through 11. And listen. For Jerusalem has stumbled and Judah has fallen because their speech and their actions are against the Lord. Now hearing this? To rebel against His glorious presence. Now listen to this one. The expression of their faces bears witness against them. And their display... And it says, and they display their sin like Sodom. They do not conceal it. Woe to them. For they have brought evil upon themselves. Say to the righteous that it will go well with them. For they eat the fruit of their actions. Praise the Lord. Woe to the wicked. It will go badly with them, for what he deserves, the Bible says, will be done to him. Who you got to blame? Oh, it's so handy to blame the preacher. But I wasn't fed. Well, maybe the preacher wasn't feeding your soul. What you wanted to hear, in other words. He didn't get to your humanities type thing. He didn't get into that. He got into the spirit and you got convicted and you didn't want to change. Hearing it radio and tape? How many hearing it? My God, we're having deliverance here tonight. Say amen, somebody. Whoa! Devil, get gone. Because God's will, and I know this, God's will for us is on high with results. And now the end results.
Proverbs 14 and 12 says, "There is a way that seemeth right unto man, but the end thereof are the ways of death." Show me your will. Oh, look at this. Just happened to open it up. The words of wise men, this is out of Song of Solomon. "The words of wise men are like goads, and masters of these collections are like well-driven nails. They are given by one shepherd, but beyond this, my son, he may be warned, the writing of many books is endless, and the excessive devotion to books is wearying to the body." And you see Christians with bookshelves full of books. And they've never asked God's will in their life. They're always looking for a remedy, an easy way, a shortcut. I don't want to go through that. There must be a way that I can get to God without going through that thing. I'll get another book and see. And then here's a book. Way to God, number 1045. "Confess your faults one another, you may be healed. Come unto me, all ye that are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Oh, no, well, but let's see how this guy, how he did it. "Oh, I don't know if I like this message." I don't care. It's God's message. "But the person reads Scripture but does not ask for God's will," and they start claiming for themselves. "Or a person who doesn't use God as a reference, the end is always death." Not the beginnings, but the end, the finished product is death. The person breaks down and the person decays, and you can almost see him rot right before your eyes. You ever seen a person that's rotting? Huh? I remember I looked at a movie. You know that movie they had? They had some home movies. And I used to drag them out all the time and bore people with them. You know what I mean? Want to see some home movies? Yeah, you know. Anyway, pull out these home movies, and I was only about 26 or 27 years old at the time, weighed about 129 pounds. And I mean, a real miserable person. I mean, miserable. Mean, mad, cantankerous, resentful, playing the part. Huh? Walk out of the door and put on a happy face. Huh? And get in my little car and drive to work and just hate everything out there. Huh? That wasn't the road, was it? Well, what was wrong? I was seeking after myself. And I think when we get into being a Christian, we get saved and filled with the Holy Ghost, we're not to seek after ourselves. "Because the person breaks down and decays." And I looked at myself and I said, my God, I was decaying. See, the end is important. Now, you know, how many know the end is important? Check out God's will and light before you enter in, not the way. Your light, let me say it another way, your light, your understanding will get you into such darkness, are you hearing this? And when you walk into that darkness and such a great draft that your candle will flicker and finally go out. The Bible says leaning not upon your own understanding means leaning not upon your own light. Check out the end before you start. "By their fruits ye shall know them," not by the bud, because the bud looks pretty good. "Not by the flower, but by the finished fruit." The fruit of evil is always evil. Now, if you start out evil, that's the way you're going to end up.
And the fruit of good is always good. Always. Jesus says one road leads to destruction, one road leads to life. He means here and now. A good tree, it says, cannot bear bad fruit. A rotten tree cannot bear, a rotten tree can't bear sound fruit. Matthew 7, 18. How many are hearing this? Woo! Good is good, and bad is bad. Now, isn't that simple? You could just give a message like that, and that would be the end of it. Someone comes up, well, what do you think of that, brother? Good is good, and bad is bad. And then they'd want you to get into the soul. It's just, well, explain it further to me. And they, you know, stole out of their till or stole out of something at work or rolled some spare tires out the back door. I took these tires out and I repented. And I just want to, I want to know what your feeling is on this. Well, good is good and bad is bad. Never the two will meet. But they want to get into a discussion on it. Why did I take the tires? Because you were evil. And you sinned. You sinned. Say that word. Sin. Sin. Say it. Sin. Say it. Sin. Say it.
Sin.
But can you explain to me why that my juice is stirred and I was stirred into doing it? Because evil was around you. And you stole him, and at the time you stole him, you did it and you were glad. Right? But we want to get into a discussion and get back into the mother's womb again. One before you were even born, in the eons of time, you know what I mean? Listen to this. Ezekiel 23 and 17. And the Babylonians came to her to the bed of love, and they defiled her with their harlotry. And when she had begun defiled by them, she became disgusted with them. And then we go on to Ezekiel 23 and 18. And she uncovered her harlotries and uncovered her nakedness. Then I became disgusted with her as I had become disgusted with her sister. And now verse 19. Yet she multiplied her harlotries, remembering the days of her youth when she played the harlot in Egypt. In the world is what it's saying. God was saying, these two sisters were his, but they left and fell into sin, and they ended up on a treadmill. When you leave God and you get into sin, you end up on a treadmill and you don't go anyplace. You put yourself on it and you just keep walking. You aren't going no place. How many know what I'm talking about? You're on a treadmill. Same scenery, same friends, same sin, and you got to keep right on. You're a prisoner to it. You're not going no place. Same every day. Same disposition. Same wounded person. Same melancholy spirit. Same person every day. And you wonder why people are miserable? They're on a treadmill. They aren't going no place. How many are hearing this? How many got themselves on a treadmill? God, it's hard. Keep on going. Can't even stop to talk to anybody. Sorry, I haven't got time for you. I'm on my own treadmill. Twit, twit, twit. Huh? Why not get off? Don't you think we ought to help people off? Hey, you're on the wrong way. You're on a treadmill. Get off. I can't. Yes, you can.
We are compelled to break with evil because of disgust. You may not break with it, but if that you continue, you will continue with no joy in it whatsoever. Are you on not the way tonight? Are you fruitful unto death? Let's read something out of Isaiah 1 and 28. But transgressors and sinners will be crushed together, and those who forsake the Lord shall come to an end. Surely you will be ashamed of the oaks which you have desired, and you will be embarrassed at the gardens which you have chosen. For you will be like an oak whose leaf fades away, or as a garden that has no water. And the strong man will become tender, his work also a spark. Thus they shall both burn, it says, together, and there will be none to quench them. Kind of a heavy word, ain't it? Well, maybe you didn't even hear it because you're still on the treadmill. And you can't hear anything. All you can hear is a treadmill going, God, I got all I can do to stay alive. I'm keeping alive. You're keeping yourself alive with your soul power. You know what makes that treadmill go? You do. You're like one of the little animals in the cage. Did you know if you stop, it'll stop? Did you know that? Did you know that? Did you? That if you'll stop, it will stop. Is that funny? If you'll stop, it'll stop, Carol. Or Jack, or Bill, or Pete, or Paul. The treadmill goes because you keep it going with your soul power. Like one of them little hamsters. There's no future in sin. Evil is a great illusion. God is a great illumination. Oh, praise the Lord. Hey, I mean, we got the answer here. Ezekiel 7, starting in verse 10. Behold the day, behold it is coming. Now listen, we're talking about end times now. Your doom has gone forth, the rod has budded, arrogance has blossomed. Ooh. How many in this world today are going on and they are blossomed in arrogance? Violence has grown into the rod of wickedness, and none of them shall remain. None of their multitude, none of their wealth, nor any eminent among them. The time has come, the day has arrived. Let not the buyer, now listen to this, let not the buyer rejoice nor the seller mourn, for the wrath is against all the multitude, all their multitude. And it goes on. Indeed, the seller will not regain what he sold as long as they both live. For the vision regarding all the multitude will be averted, nor will any of them maintain his life by his iniquity. They have blown the trumpet and made everything ready, but no one is going to the battle. My wrath is against all their multitude. How close we are to the end times. Let me read another verse here, and this is out of the Psalm 1. Oh, listen. Praise the Lord. And this is verse 3, going down through verse, let's say, 6 here. And he will be like a tree firmly planted by the streams of water, which yields its fruit in its season. Oh, hallelujah. And its leaf does not wither, And in whatever it does, he prospers. The wicked are not so, but they are chaff, which the wind drives away. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. Don't worry about people that are doing evil. They're going to perish. Say amen, somebody. So much time is spent on, well, where is the world? What is the world coming to? It's coming to hell. What's going on? And they spend a lot of time protesting. Protesting. Instead of offering an alternative, we protest and we lift up the devil. Why not offer an alternative? Why not be an example? Why not show people that Christianity works? Why do we have to come up against something to prove God? It says, flee from the very appearance of evil. It doesn't say march around the store with signs. It says, lift up the Lord Jesus Christ. We spend so much time, you know, oh, this is evil, and, you know, judge not the world. The world is already a judgment. I mean, that's what the Bible says, doesn't it? We spend all this time looking at all these wicked people, and the reason we're so mad at them is because we're in our soul power and we want to do the same things ourselves. Because we're not walking after the Spirit. When you're not walking after the Spirit, you're walking after the flesh. And when you're walking after the flesh, you're into your soul power. When you're in the soul power, you're looking to satisfy yourself, and you're seeing somebody doing something over there you wish you could do yourself. And so God says, judge ye not, lest ye be judged. Because the very thing you judge, I'll judge you on, because you're going to want to do that thing. So don't spend our time doing that. Spend your time. Lift up the Lord Jesus Christ. Lift him up, it says, lift him up higher. Oh, and it says, if you lift me up, and if I be high and lift up, I'll draw all men unto myself. Oh, if we'd get that down and we'd lift up the name of Jesus in everything we do, wouldn't that be an example? Wouldn't it? Wouldn't it? Down there, you're doing these little meager tasks. What are you doing? Packing bread for the glory of God. And they look at you like, huh? Huh? But you're having fun doing it. You're not into soul power. You're not into explaining things to people. And you're not into wondering and discerning and oh my, and on and on and on. No, you lift up Jesus in what you do. You lift him up on your job, right, John? Right? You lift him up, isn't that right, David? In your job. Jesus is so wonderful. And you start showing this in your life, and that which gets your attention gets you. Okay, let me go on here. Now, there is only one God. Many schools right now are teaching that, well, you know, Christmas is just the winter 2 weeks off. Isn't that right? They're teaching that science is the way, that education is the way, that experience is the way. Oh, you got to experience it. And so they're getting into experiencing homosexuality, experiencing drugs, experiencing fornication, experiencing adultery. Wow, what an experience! And they go home all diseased. That's an experience, isn't it? See, all they have is one revelation of the way. Everything reveals the way. Even their not going the way reveals the way. Even their dead end will lead them to another search. In time, they'll get to the way. Are you hearing it? Listen to this, Ecclesiastes. And this is 8 and 12. Although a sinner does evil 100 times and may lengthen his life, still I know that it will be well for those who fear God, who fear him openly.
I fear God. I fear God openly. But it will not be well for the evil man, and he will not lengthen his days like a shadow, because he does not fear God. Oh, if we had a good, honest to God fear of God, you would not see the things going on you're seeing going on. Would you? I'm fearful to hate somebody. I mean, boo, you know, hate. Not just, I can't stand him. And then they use the thing, well, Jesus in me loves you, but I can't love you, I hate you. Well, see, you're still alive, because the Bible says it's no longer I that live, but Christ in me. And it's no longer you that lives, but Christ in you. What are you doing popping up, Adam? This shows me that you're very much alive yet. Well, Jesus in me loves you, but I hate your guts. Huh? You ever hear anybody say that? Jesus in me loves you. What does that mean? It means Jesus. And we use that for an excuse because we don't. No, I wasn't looking anywhere. I mean, let me look all over now. And the angels up in the all the people up in the balcony. You know, it seems like people always know who you're talking about. You don't know nothing. I've been talking about myself most of the evening. Right? There's two approaches to this. The way found outside of the Bible is like eating crumbs from the, let's say, table of life, the experience table. Well, it's been my experience. Or the feelings table, if it feels good, do it. The emotions table, that's people living in themselves all the time. Or the we the people table, you know. Or a form of religion table, the catechisms and so on like that. The family table, where people sit around the table and they play act. Mom and Dad. And they play this Father's Knows Best. How many know that's not reality? There's no family that acts like that consistently. Huh? How many know that's not reality, Father Knows Best? How many remember that program? Now, Junior, get the carburetor out of the sink. You've made your mother mad. Junior, be wearing that carburetor for a hat. Now, let's face it. That's not reality, is it? And they play the part of the family. Father and mother. And daughter and son. You know what I'm talking about? Put your hands up and say amen. Get them up there. My God, there's reality out here. You face the truth and you'll get free. And there's no family like that. And so everybody tries to live up to Father Knows Best. And they all sit there smiling. Oh, isn't that wonderful? And then they try to fashion their own family after this illusion. But the science table or the dinosaur thing that's coming out. Now they're finding that the bones they thought were 50 zillion years old are 150 zillion years old. My God, who cares? Don't we have problems of our own without worrying about some old dinosaur bone? Or the chance table people? Oh, take a chance. There's even a song like that, Take a Chance on Romance. Isn't it? I don't take no chances with romance. My God, if you think there's an inkling of a doubt, get out! Well, the getting's good. Say amen, somebody.
Amen.
How many are hearing this? Christians work from faith in the revelation of Christ. Others work from the revelation of life, what life reveals to them. They work out of that. Well, it's been my experience in life that it's dog eat dog. Is that your experience? Someone eats you, so you eat them? That's a personal revelation. That's not a God, I'll tell you. Dog eat dog. But anyway, both approaches, listen, that will meet God. Because all the people who try to disprove God end up proving Him, and they're our helpers in the end. And then there's the eternal right, and I'm closing. And everybody has to conform to it, whether you want to or not. My God, I love it. There is an eternal right, and whether you want to or not, you are going to bend to it. Your stiff neck is going to be broken. I started to think about this, and I started to say, you know, God has His own way. Now we're having warm weather out there, and it snowed in California. There's like a foot of snow out there. They're right? Did God have His own way? Is that right? And then tomorrow, it could be blizzard conditions. God will have His way, won't He? I've heard Christians pray like this. They say, "Now, Lord, you know, I just had my hair fixed, and it cost me $15 to have it cut, and altogether I got $53 invested in my hair. And so, Lord, don't have it rain just for a little over me." And the crops are drying up. People are starving in Africa and they don't want their hair to get wet. And they pray it with all the faith they can muster. In the name of Jesus, it will not rain. Do you think He hears that prayer? Now, isn't that stupid? My God, admit it. And I'll get letters on this. Oh, brother, don't you know that we have to pray in faith? I pray in faith, but I check it out. Well, God, how do you want me to pray this prayer? You want me to pray it so my hair will grow, or what, you know? Huh? Isn't that stupid? Come on. I thought to myself, you know, and God every night has the stars come out. Can you stop that? Can you stop God's gravity? Can you do anything about it? Sin is wrong, isn't that right? See, that's right. And if we try to prove God is wrong, the whole universe will show us as wrong. And you're going to have to bend to the eternal rights of God, whether you like it or not. Oh, you can get mad and you can pound and you can stamp your little feet and you just say, "What's going on?" Is it ugly? People, when they cry and they get into the melancholy, they are ugly. You ever seen a baby that gets into the melancholy and they bawl? I don't care how cute you are. Aren't they ugly? Yeah! Huh? You will have to bend to the eternal plan of God whether you like it or not. And I know there's a lot of preaching that says, "God will never take your will from you." That's right, He won't. But He's got ways of making you change your will. Right? And so He'll have His will. Well be done. And it's like the whole world is going to wait because I'm not going to bend to the will of God. You will. Oh, yes, you will. God's will be done. He's got ways of making you change your mind, Buster. I said it, and I'm glad. Keep the letters coming. That's all right. Okay, here we are in 2 Chronicles 15, and I'm closing up here, I think. This is verse 3. And for many days Israel was without the true God and without the teaching priest and without law. But in their distress, they turned to the Lord God of Israel and they sought him and they let, what? And he let them find him. Oh, I like that. In their distress, they turned to the Lord God of Israel, and they sought him, and he let them find him. Did you ever play hide and seek with your little kid? Well, you don't get in a hiding place, he'd never find you. You hide in real obvious, and you leave one foot hang outside the Davenport. Okay, come and get me. And he runs around and he looks and sees your foot. I see you! He said, oh, you caught me, huh? God is not that hard to find. And in those times, there was no peace to him who went out or to him who came in. For many disturbances afflicted all the inhabitants of the lands. Oh, we are heading for that time. And nation was crushed by nation and city by city, for God troubled them with every kind of distress. You mean God did that? Is that the will of God? Read it. But you be strong, listen now, and do not lose courage, for there is reward for your work. When distress and peril and nakedness and sword and destruction and famine, when all these things appear, rumors of wars and wars and rumors of wars and marrying and giving and marriage and all these things and diseases, well, don't get disheartened. Keep up. Have good courage. You're going to get a reward for it. Ooh, hallelujah. Isn't that a good word? Well, I've said here tonight that doing the right thing and closing here is the healthy thing to do, and check it out with God. God, what's the right thing? Oh, do you know we'd have a lot less trouble if we'd ask God what the right thing is? Well, sometimes don't ask that when you know what it is. Check it out with God. Oh, that the body of Christ would do the right thing, and check it out with God. Oh, that husbands and wives and brothers and sisters and children and parents would do the right thing with one another. Oh, that people would do the right thing with one another. Oh, God, show us the right way. We seek the way for the right way. Because the way will bring us, I'm saying here, harmony and unity and caring and sharing and, yes, suffering. But suffering for the joy. Oh, it feels good to be right with God. Don't it feel good to be right with God? Do you ever have a good spanking? And well, maybe some of you, maybe. Now, nowadays they don't spank kids. Oh, no. Oh, God, child brutality, you know. But I remember, after I got my comeuppance, and I was right with my parents, I felt clean inside. I felt good. Right? It's the same way when you're right with God. You have that good, clean feeling on you. Cleaned out. You got all the tears. You got all done crying. And you're right with God. Isn't that a good feeling? To be right with God. I didn't say perfect according to someone else's definition with God. I said right with God for where you're at. Say amen, somebody. Oh, it's so good when you wake up and there's no guilt and no frustration. No doubt. Oh, every time a siren went off, I thought, oh my God, here they come for me. Isn't there a song like that? Free as the wind, my love. Well, now we're free as the wind, my love. Free as the wind, my love. We're free as the wind, my love. We're going on, huh? And when we're wrong, let's just admit it and get right and get on the right way and go on the way you must have. The right way. Go the way. Oh, God. Psalm 29 and 5 and 6. And the voice of the Lord breaketh the cedars. Yea, the Lord breaketh the cedars of Lebanon. Now, these are strong trees and they fell down. Or they stood in desolation. As mementos, it's saying of God's power. And here we have Lebanon is talking about itself is not secure. High as it stands, and the gospel is saying also is Jesus Christ has the same dominion over the most inaccessible of mortals. When the Lord sends his word, he will break that heart. Maybe the Lord has sent you a word tonight. He's broken in. In verse 6 it says, he maketh them also to skip like a calf. Lebanon, Siron, like a young unicorn. Not only the trees, but the mountains and the hills themselves moved about like the young calves. And the gospel of Jesus Christ, too, can move the rocky, mountainous, let's say, pride of man. Hallelujah! Isn't he wonderful? Psalm 107, 17 and 18, verse 17. Fools, because of their transgression and because of their iniquities, are afflicted. Many of the sicknesses that we're seeing right now today are the result, the direct result of foolish acts. Drunkenness and sex, gluttony, and every indulgence into all of these passions fill their body. The Bible says, with the very worst kinds of diseases. And you know what's at the very bottom of all is? Sorrow is sin. Even while the people are under the rod, they go on, and even in their rebellion, and they go on, and they grow in their iniquities. And then it says, the soul abhorreth all manner of meat. What's that saying? Men lose their appetite. And don't we lose our appetite when we're sick? Did you know right now there are people out there that are so sick and they're not eating? The best food is nauseous to them. Their stomach turns against it until they die, and it's the same way in a soul sickness. It loses its appetite when afflicted by sin. And it turns away, yes, even from the gospel. There are people right now that turn away from the gospel. They are so soul sick. They're sick in their soul. And they don't want nothing. Do you want something to eat? No. Oh, here's the word of God. No. No, I don't want it. I'm sick. Too sick to eat. Too sick to hear the gospel. Too sick. Oh, there's a lot of folks out there right now that are sick in their souls and they can't eat. What are you going to do about it? God didn't come for the healthy. He came for the sick. Soul sickness is what God came for. Soul sickness. And everybody out there has got a sick soul. It needs a great physician. It needs that healing. Are you hearing this message tonight? Oh my God. if we were concerned and the people seemed we were really concerned, wouldn't that make them be concerned about the Word of God? When you're making guttural sounds, when you're eating, yum, yum, and you're eating it and you smell it and you eat, oh, this is good, oh, doesn't that entice others to eat? When we're in church and we're enjoying the Word of God and we're not living in our own selfishness, oh God, doesn't that make enthuse people when they see you doing the works of the Lord? Doesn't that make them hunger and thirst after righteousness? They say, well, you know, that's right. People should serve people and they should have something to eat and they should have clothes to wear and stuff. Wow. Wow, that's great. Ooh, that makes me hungry and thirsty. Can I help? And you've see the sickened souls come in and they want to help. Why not all of us right now and all you Christians listening on the tape or to the radio ministry? And sometimes, you know, you might be called a nut or a fanatical person or something like that. But it's time that the Church of Jesus Christ wakes up to the fact that there's a practicality in Jesus and there's a reality in the Lord. And even God came down here to walk among men and suffered among men. For what? For the joy that was before him. When you suffer with someone else, you're suffering for the joy of the deliverance of that person on down the line. That they'll go to heaven on down the line. That their life will straighten out on down the line. For the joy that is before them. When you raise your children, you suffer with them for the joy that is before you. And it's the time that we all take on our responsibilities and don't lay the whole thing on one or two people. Say, my God, what is my part in this?